Wake up weekday mornings, L.I. in the A.M. with Jay Oliver. Traffic and weather every 10 minutes on the 5s. And A Better Life with Dr. Sanjay Gupta on Suffolk County's news and information leader. 103.9 L.I. News Radio.
Well, there is a lot happening all regarding immigration right now, and people are asking a lot of questions. Our next guest answering a lot of those questions, Patrick Young. He's the program director of the Central American Refugee Center. It's a nonprofit organization providing legal services and advocacy, and that to the immigration community on Long Island. Mr. Young, also an attorney. We welcome him to the airwaves here at LI News Radio, first time. Patrick, thanks for coming on.
My pleasure.
Well, I tell you, the talk has been just that, all over the place. We saw a meeting, first time in a long time, what goes on down in Washington in bipartisan fashion. But nonetheless, there was a lot of talk regarding the Dreamers and exactly what will happen. Just how inundated with questions has your center really been given over the last few days?
Well, it's been amazing. At Central American Refugee Center, we've been flooded with calls in both our Brentwood and Hempstead office. It's not just with the Dreamers, because obviously there was the meeting with President Trump this week. However, there was also a court decision yesterday, or actually 2 days ago, in which a federal judge in San Francisco said that the program for DACA, which is the program for Dreamers, was not legally shut down by the president, and that the renewal program for that has to begin again. And then in addition, on Monday, we got word that temporary protective status to Salvadorans is being withdrawn, and that's about 15 to 20,000 Long Islanders who have that status. So it's been a very harrowing 3 days, and it's hard for us to even keep up with what's going on.
It really is. And, you know, when you think about it, Patrick, and you saw the back and forth as viewers were able to kind of catch glimpses of what actually goes on in these meetings in Washington. You know, you kind of got a sense as far as the president with his stance, you know, not really cementing anything from what he had said in the past to what he had stated on Tuesday. So in essence, he's kind of letting the players, congressional leaders, kind of take the center stage to kind of bang out an agreement. And if agreement is made regarding Dreamers and whatnot, you know what, maybe a wall. Actually, he specified a wall has to be in the works, some concessions in essence. So you kind of get the feeling that, you know, are they going to bang out some serious stuff here regarding the Dreamers and what happens here? You know, you kind of get mixed reviews here.
Well, we're down to 50 days before the people start losing their work permits in large numbers if the judge's order is not allowed to stand. You know, we're hoping it will, and that people will be able to renew their statuses, but if not, you're going to start to see about 6,000 to 7,000 people a week nationally lose their work permits beginning on March 5th. So it's really we really have a tight deadline here that the president created. You know, we have thought in the past that it might be possible for Congress to do a deal. The problem is, of course, that they've been working on a deal for Dreamers since 2001, and it hasn't happened yet. And I think Congress is about its most dysfunctional ever in my lifetime. I think that the president, at times during that meeting, appeared to be very amenable to a deal, and at other times inserting poison pills. You know, for instance, getting rid of what he calls chain migration, but it's really family-based immigration, which is the traditional immigrant system in the United States. I think that's a non-starter. I think, you know, $18 billion for the wall is a non-starter as well.
Talking with Patrick Young, he's a program director of the Central American Refugee Center. You know, and interesting yesterday where we all saw it as far as Homeland Security investigators, Patrick Young, going into 7-Elevens across the country and really checking status of employees at this convenience store chain. What was your reaction to that?
I mean, it's interesting that they went to 90 7-Elevens around the country, and I think they arrested a total of 21 employees. You know, the ICE has been very focused on public relations over the last year, particularly in terms of making themselves look as though there's some massive crackdown on undocumented immigration. And the number of arrests has been up, but I think many of these operations have had more to do with the press than they've had to do with actual arrests.
No, no question about it. Talking with Patrick Young, and of course, you know, a lot of people will state that we have a big gang problem, and most, you know, the situations that come from El Salvador, which has certainly been in the news. And you know, it's interesting as we kind of focus a little bit on that, and some of the families right now kind of scurrying around, not knowing what's going to happen. And this all kind of drums up, and we've stated this before on this program, Patrick Young, regarding the Unaccompanied Minors Act. You know, we don't know where that particular piece of legislation, if it actually exists. Is it cemented? People talk about it. But is it real? What do you think of this whole thing with the Unaccompanied Minors Act at this point in time?
Well, right now, unaccompanied children who come to the United States are protected under the Wilberforce Anti-Trafficking Act, and that's basically what gives them a day in court. You know, there's attempts right now in Congress to essentially eliminate protections for children who've suffered in, you know, really suffered dire violence in their homelands. I don't think that's going to be repealed. That was put in by President George W. Bush, and I don't think that there is a majority in Congress to repeal that.
Interesting. We'll see what happens there. And of course, you know, it's not just the Salvadorans here. U.S. government also did away with similar protections for tens of thousands of Haitian, Sudanese, and Nicaraguan immigrants. And really, the only hope, Congress could pass some legislation giving them the opportunity to become legal residents. And if that fails and they can't find another way to stay legally, they'll either be forced to return to their home countries or just face deportation. And then that's what it's all about right now, Pat. It's really about the clock right now. All eyes on the clock and what decisions, you know, our leaders can come up with here.
Well, and if they don't come up with this, with real action, we're going to see about 25,000 Long Islanders from the loss of TPS and DACA go from having legal status in the United States to being undocumented. So, I don't know, did Trump promise that he would create 25,000 more undocumented immigrants on Long Island? We're really going to be facing a home foreclosure crisis again, because many of these folks are people who bought homes, who have mortgages, and if they're either deported or if they become undocumented, they're no longer going to be able to pay that.
And it's interesting, we brought it up in the beginning of the conversation, you know, the ruling yesterday by a federal judge, ladies and gentlemen, in California, really kind of threw a bit of a twist into this whole mix. You know, this U.S. District Judge, William Alsup, blocking the Trump administration's DACA rollback plan, now ordering officials to continue processing renewal applications. Not clear just how this decision from this judge to, you know, how it's going to play out, whether officials will appeal, and what impact this will have on negotiations over a DACA fix on Capitol Hill. And we have seen this before, Patrick Young, as far as the appeals court stepping in, at least momentarily here. How do you think this will play out with Judge Alsup's move here, blocking the administration? I mean, how do you think it'll play out overall?
Well, I think in ordinary times, we would feel that the re-registrations would begin, but we know these aren't ordinary times. We do know that many of President Trump's anti-immigrant actions have been rolled back by the federal courts, because almost nothing that they've done since they've come into office has fit in with the normal regulatory process. You really can't be dealing with the lives of millions of people and simply run roughshod over their rights. So we are hoping that the courts will sustain this decision. But I think, you know, we also know that there's been a lot of changes in the judiciary and, you know, particularly the change in the Supreme Court that, you know, could lead to adverse rulings.
Talking with Patrick Young, Central American Refugee Center. It's interesting how the administration has vowed to kind of step up immigration enforcement by hiring more agents, maybe putting more undocumented immigrants behind bars, deporting them at a faster clip here. But the first year of this presidency shows this is kind of much tougher than it sounds. We know arrests are up, but deportations are down. Maybe a reason, Patrick Young, these courts, the immigration courts, are still grappling with a significant backlog, and the administration now looking for more space involved here. And we've seen the administration pointing to this drastic drop in border crossings earlier this year, although some of the experts say that alone doesn't fully explain the numbers. What do you think? I mean, you know, obviously security needed here. We know we have a very big drug situation here in Long Island, especially. Border security is needed for sure. I mean, what do you think of this whole thing about security and really being or taking a more stringent stance regarding this?
Well, I think ultimately the actions of ICE right now are undermining security on Long Island because the raids that have occurred, and they're up by about 1% on Long Island, have really driven large parts of the immigrant community underground. And let's remember that 4/5 of immigrants living on Long Island are permanent residents or U.S. citizens. But this has really alienated them from the police. We had worked for years at my organization to build good ties between both the Nassau and Suffolk County police departments and the immigrant communities. And frankly, now folks are worried that the police are working with ICE, and that doesn't make anyone more secure.
No question about it. You know, you look at the numbers, you know, you got 5,000 or so new Border Patrol officers, 10,000 new ICE agents. Mm-hmm. That the administration has said it plans to hire. That's pretty much, I mean, that's a big order when you think about it. It also requires, you know, funding from Congress. And even now, the agencies, they certainly aren't able to keep up with this type of attrition. And it's going to be very interesting regarding the hiring of these agents. You know, you look at halfway to retirement before they actually meet the goal, which I think is the year 2028 or so. So, you know, listen, the thought process is there. Tangible, though, when you look at it, tangible evidence kind of makes you think that it won't be there.
Yeah, right now we spend more on ICE than we spend on the FBI, the BATF, and the DEA combined. So, you know, even under the Bush and Obama administrations, it has been the largest federal law enforcement. There's sort of a myth that's been created in sort of the alt-right media that there's no enforcement of the immigration laws. There obviously has been for many years. But, you know, one of the issues, if you do build up ICE, add an additional 10,000 ICE agents and 5,000 Border Patrol, is that it's likely unsustainable because of the huge expenditures that that's going to incur. It's very similar to beginning to build the wall. If you build the wall with $1 billion or $2 billion this year, the likelihood that you're going to get recurring funding for it every year with tight budgets at the federal government is pretty slim. So you're going to have a wall with a lot of holes in it.
No question. Wrapping up, a couple of minutes left. Patrick Young, he is the program director for the Central American Refugee Center. And, you know, let's be real here. Most immigrants who come to the United States legally now have a family tie that paves the way, and this administration wants to change that. A lot of officials have dubbed family-based immigration. They call it chain migration, and they say it's unfair and unsafe, pointed to a few recent events to kind of bolster their case. Instead, officials now say potential immigrant skills should be the deciding factor. Isn't that interesting, Patrick Young, that potential immigrant skills should be the deciding factor there when you think about it? What do you think of that?
Well, if you ask the average Long Islander, how did your grandparents immigrate here from Italy or from Eastern Europe or from Ireland, they'll say, well, you know, my great-grandfather or my grandfather's brother was here and he helped them come over. Well, that's chain migration. You know, that is the American tradition of migration. We do have about a quarter of our immigrant visas that go to people with high skills, but frankly, a lot of our visas go to people because someone gets married to someone in another country, they bring them over, or somebody applies for their brother or sister. This is not a quick process. If I am Pakistani, for instance, and I apply for my brother or sister, it's going to take about 11 or 12 years before that person's visa is going to become available. We give out pretty limited numbers of visas for most of these categories, apart from the immediate relatives of U.S. citizens, like a child or a spouse. We don't give out visas because somebody is a cousin of a citizen or the niece or nephew of a citizen. It's really only people who have tight ties to an American citizen or permanent resident who are able to get these visas, as well as their own spouse and children. So it's the basis of American immigration, and it does make up about two-thirds to three-quarters of the immigrants every year. You know, you may say that's nepotism or that's chain migration, but actually that's the way almost all of our families got here to the United States in the past.
Pretty much. You're 100% right, no question. Of course, you know, the Trump administration already reshaping the system in kind of more subtle ways. You know, as we're talking about visas here, they're denying more of these visas. They're tinkering even with the number of visas, I guess, it makes available, and kind of redefining the qualifications to get them. You get that feel, too, or no?
Yes. I mean, we used to see that most applications where somebody clearly qualified for a visa and where they didn't have any type of a criminal record and they had no other issues, you know, and again, once you apply, it can often take years before the person legally qualifies, but once they legally qualified, the visa would be issued in a relatively quick manner. And now we're finding almost every case that we send in, we get large numbers of requests for additional evidence, which drags the case out. You know, we were just doing a simple green card renewal. Somebody's green card expired. They expire after a number of years, which should take 3 or 4 months. And the last one we did took over a year. You know, and this is somebody sitting without their work authorization, et cetera, even though they're permanent residents here, for roughly a year. It's really a terrible thing. The president should not be able to use essentially new inefficiencies, create new inefficiencies in the process simply to reduce the number of people who are coming to the United States legally.
I tell you, it's interesting, and we'll see how this pans out. I know you're doing your part, Patrick Young, as far as the Central American Refugee Center, of course, the nonprofit organization, and provide a lot of legal services and advocacy to the immigration community right here on Long Island. Patrick Young, we thank you for a few minutes this morning. Interesting, very interesting stuff, and hopefully we'll talk to you down the road here.
Thank you very much.